be seated. Now, one day I was coming back from my office and I felt that I needed a really cold drink. So what I did was, I thought of making a smoothie. You know how many of you know smoothies? Yeah, smoothies? Okay. So you open up your fridge, you get some fruits, and then you open up your freezer. And I was looking for what? Ice. Such a simple ingredient to make a smoothie. Unfortunately, there was no ice in the freezer. And I was just thinking, how come there's no ice on the freezer? So I called my dear wife, "Hey, the ice, where? No ice." And she said, "Get it to the neighbor. Get it from your neighbor." I said, "Okay, get it from my neighbor." All right. Another day I came back, I was so hungry. I was trying to, quickly do some fried rice. So I found some ingredients, found some garlic, found some onions. And then I was looking for a very important ingredient. What was that? No, rice, yes, I have rice. Okay. Very important ingredient, eggs. I need eggs, right? I really need eggs. I opened out the fridge and say, no eggs. So I call my wife, "Where are the eggs?" "Get it from your neighbor." Wow, what's happening to my house? No ice, no eggs. She's not here today, okay? But I've got her permission to say this. And no eggs, nothing. And she said, "What's happening to..." So you must be wondering, what's happening to Pastor Chris M's house? Nothing there. Another day I came back, hoping there would be nice dinner. And there was no dinner at all. All of us are waiting. Where the dinner? Let's go to the neighbor and get crushed. Now, you must be wondering right now, two things. What's happening to my house? That's another day for another time, okay? You must be also wondering, what kind of neighbor I have? Every now and then, I can go to the neighbor. Now, the neighbor is my in-laws. Now, similarly, in Jesus' day, it was much the same. Hospitality was a serious social obligation. Okay? You don't hesitate to share your possession. You don't hesitate to share your belongings. And you don't even hesitate to go to your neighbor and just knock on their door and get some of the things that you need. Because people those days live in a village. It's a community of people. It is that you live in a village and you share things together. And so this was how Jesus was trying to explain and teach this parable. Because the context of this parable is very simple. Jesus was praying, right? He was praying and he came out from prayer meeting, just like that. Came out from a morning prayer and the disciples saw him. There was something different about Jesus' prayer. There's something different the way he prayed, the way he carried himself. Everything that Jesus did was undergirded by prayer. And if you really read the Gospels carefully, if you read the Gospel of Luke, you will know that Jesus actually went away to pray, and a lot of things that he did was prayer. Even in the day where he was in Garden of Gethsemane, he was still praying to the Father. On the cross, he was still praying to the Father. And so, everything that Jesus did was undergirded by prayer. And so the disciples wanted to know exactly. And so Jesus said, "Okay, I'll teach you about prayer," because they really wanted to learn about prayer. And so Jesus taught the disciples on prayer by approaching their Heavenly Father boldly and with confidence. And now, you see, what was Jesus doing is this. Jesus, the master storyteller, the master teacher, he brings the disciples to a place of a parable. Now, parable is a storytelling, it's a method that Jesus uses. Now, parable is something like he's telling you a story that relates to human nature. What is happening on earth? In contrast to what should be happening in heaven. So he's bringing the audience, he's bringing the disciples to the point of, if you do this, what you would be in heaven? And he's just bringing a parabolic, what theologians will use the word parabolic
idea of teaching, and his teaching is in contrast what it should be and what it shouldn't be. So it is purely in contrast. How much more? Meaning it is in contrast. And so Jesus is bringing the people, the disciples, to a point of daily activities, functional activities, things that happen in a day-to-day life, and he's teaching them in contrast what is the Father in heaven like. And so today, as we look at it carefully, it is by prayer. Sorry, the big idea is praying is approaching God. And so it is by prayer we approach God. The understanding of God will always be nurtured by prayer. The more we pray, the bigger become our understanding of God. So the objective of prayer is this, is not looking for an answer. Although we look, we want an answer from God, but the objective of prayer is not looking for an answer. It is actually to know your God, the heart of your God. And the more you pray, the bigger becomes your understanding of who is this God. And so, again, the disciple wanted to learn how to pray. And so Jesus, therefore, told them this parable, the friend at midnight. I want to go a little bit, explain to you what is this parable about. Because if you read the passage clearly, you would understand it. But just let me just tell you in a simple language. The parable is about someone came to a house. Okay, in those days, people come to the house. Now, this person came to the house of this host in an unusual time, midnight. And he came to the house and knocked on the door and said, okay, please, So he's a guest. And so the host invited him to his house. And when the host invited a guest into the house, first thing you do is, have you eaten? You know, that is the normal Oriental hospitality. And so the host asked, have you eaten? Of course, he knew that he has got nothing in his kitchen. Just like me, no ice, no eggs, okay, no dinner. So he has got nothing in the kitchen. But he did, you know, he still have to ask. All right, you still have to ask. That's the Oriental hospitality. So now the guest has come. There's nothing in the kitchen. Please stay, have a meal. And so when he has nothing in the kitchen, and so this host goes to the neighbor, according to the scripture, goes to the neighbor and knock on the neighbor's door. He knew exactly who is this neighbor. And so he knocks on the neighbor's door. Now the neighbor refused to open because it's so late in the night. But he still keep on knocking until he gets his bread, his dinner for the guests. All right? That is the short, long and short of this parable. Now, with this parable, Jesus is teaching the disciples about prayer. So, when we look at this parable, what are the natures of prayer? The nature of prayer, first, no unusual time for God. Any time is a good time. The parable says in verse 5 and 6, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. Now, the first question is, suppose you have a friend. Jesus asked a hypothetical question. Okay? The master storyteller leading the people to answer questions concerning prayer. Now, suppose you have a friend. And so it's a hypothetical question. And so this friend came in an unusual time to your house. In those days, in the context of the parable, arriving at someone's house at midnight was highly unusual. Now, I tell you why it's highly unusual. Of course, there are people who think, the commentators are themselves quite divided in this. In the days of Jesus' time, places like Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, certainly, these are the places that are very hot, all right? So people may travel in the night, you know, to avoid the heat of the day. But where Jesus lived in Galilee, in Israel. The hills and mountains of Israel, now if you've been to Israel, you know, together with the sea breezes, meant that the temperature at night were much, much cooler. And then, in the daytime, it's also cooler as compared to the neighboring nations. Now, the consensus is this, that it was unusual for anyone to travel by night in Israel. Now, the reasons are why. I tell you why. Thieves go around at night. And those who travel in the night, they try to cover themselves. For example, Joseph, Mary, took Jesus to Egypt in the night. They were fleeing away from the Herod's soldier. So people who do not really travel at night. And so this was an unusual time for a guest to arrive at the house of this host. Unusual time. But in contrast, any time is a good time for God. Amen. Any time is a good time for God. We can bring our requests. We can approach God any time of the day. We don't have to wait for a certain time to approach God. You can approach God any time of the day. You can approach Him. You see, in the times of Jesus' time, they live in a village that has got city gate, right? You know that in a village has got city gate. Now, of course, we live in a guarded and gated community. It has been there, okay? It has been there in Jesus' time. And so people don't travel in the night. Once the city gate closes, you are outside the village and you are exposed to thieves. So this person came very unusual time of the night. And so here, Jesus is saying there are no unusual time when you approach God. Secondly, no unusual request for God. Okay, any request is a good request. You see, the host cannot turn the guest away. Am I right or not? Oriental hospitality is you cannot turn your guest away. You cannot say, you came at 12 o'clock midnight, can you please go back? You cannot do that. If a guest has come to your house, nobody will do that. Of course, nowadays you will know who are your guests because you have view cam, your camera outside, and see who are the people outside knocking on your door. But in Jesus' time, you don't have such things. Everybody knock on the door means they are your guests. So here, a guest has come to this host, and here, you cannot turn away the guest. You can do one thing. You can tell him to fast and pray so there's no food to eat. But you wouldn't want to do that. That's not Oriental hospitality. And so, here we are. There is an unusual request. Why? Because the host went to the neighbor to look for bread. He is asking for 3 loaves of bread. Why 3? Okay? I don't want you to allegorize anything on the number 3. The reason why he asked for 3 loaves is so simple and so straightforward. Because we all know that Oriental hospitality is 1 loaf may not be enough for this person. Okay? You want to put on the table more than the person can eat. Am I right? Right? You always want to give generously. You want to offer your guests enough to eat. So he thought 1 loaf may not be enough. Maybe he goes for 2nd loaf. He's so hungry. Maybe he's traveled so far. I think I get 3 loaves, I'm safe. That is the reason why he asked for 3 loaves. To show generosity beyond what was asked. Secondly, he went to the neighbor to knock on the door to ask for food. Secondly, he knows that he has to do something because this guest is not only the guest to his house, but is the guest to the village as well. So he knows that he has to provide food for this guest. There's no choice. And so, he has to go and knock on the doors. Now, when Jesus said this parable, the disciples quickly can imagine the kind of hospitality that Jesus is talking about. And so, that is the culture that they live. And so, Jesus is drawing the disciples into the day-to-day life and bringing a contrast about how God works. So, in this instance, the host is expected to ask only for the basic. Okay, the host asks for the neighbor, give me 3 loaves of bread. But they all know that the neighbor will give more than 3 loaves. The neighbor will also pass the dishes off because the neighbor will ask, do you have enough food to eat with the loaf of bread? Do you have fish? Do you have, you know, whatever that goes along with the bread? So he knows that the neighbor was going to supply a lot more than what he's going to ask. So that the generosity is beyond his own asking. And he knows. Now let me just give you an example about what it means to be generous in giving, in terms of providing for your guests. the hospitality of Oriental hospitality. One day, I was in a mission trip, you know, mission trip, just like the mission trip that you saw on the video just now. I was part of this mission trip that we are leading. We are going to Nepal. This is my second mission trip. Been there before. This is my second mission trip. So we were there after ministering to the village, and the host invited us to his home. I call it a one-room home, which means in this home, he sleeps there, he cooks there, and he does everything there in his one house, one-room house, you know. And so we five of us felt very uncomfortable to impose such thing to our host. He was to come and ask us to join him for dinner, which is really, really beyond his means. But because of much insistence, and we felt that we should go, so we went. And we were there, we were seated on the floor, we were there and just having fellowship, and the food that came, rice, and you know dal bhat, you know what's dal bhat? Dal bhat are dal curries and so on, okay? And there were five eggs for us, because we were five of us. And so the guest, the host, you know, gave us the food to eat, and so we asked him, what about yourself? You're not eating, and your children? He says, no, we will not eat until our guests have eaten all and full, you know, make themselves, you know, we are happy to see you eat. And that is the kind of hospitality that we are talking about. You are poor, yes, but you want to provide enough, more than enough, in fact. Here you are, that this poor man, this host, is giving us all that he has for the night. Because he wants us to all be filled. He doesn't mind to go hungry. But that kind of hospitality we are talking about here. And so God's help is actually unconditional. His generosity far exceeds. You know why? If you talk in our earthly form, that kind of generosity that we receive, God's generosity is even more, far more exceeds. That's why it says, in contrast, how much more? And so what Jesus is teaching to the disciple is, this God that you have, you can approach him. His help is unconditional. You don't have to give him any reason. And in fact, his generosity far exceeds what you ask. The host knocked at a bad time because he had an emergency on his hands. In this situation, Jesus says, pray, ask. Now, what is the motive for God answering our request? The relationship of father to child, which is better than of a friend. He is a father who wants to meet our needs. That is our God. He is our father who wants to meet our needs. Here you are, the neighbor is just a friend, a neighbor. But here, Jesus is saying, your Father in heaven, far, his generosity far more. It far exceeds what you ever ask. So no unusual time. Any time is a good time. No unusual request. Any request is a good request. That brings me to my third point. No unacceptable excuses from God. God addresses every request. God addresses every request. He may not answer the way you want it to be. The way you want it to, him to answer, he may not answer. But he addresses your request. You see, God's generosity far exceeds. You know why? He is generous enough not to answer your prayer. Because if he answers your prayer, he knows that you're going to fall into a big trap. He knows that you will be going through pain and disaster will just come upon your life if he ever answer your prayer that the way you want him to answer. And that is the reason why sometimes your prayer not being answered. Because God's generosity far exceeds human generosity. Can you just imagine? I know sometimes it just mind-boggles all our minds. How can God be generous when he doesn't answer the way we want? But because the way we want is a road to disaster. And that's the reason why. And so the way that God answers is so different. He addresses your request. And so verse 7 and 8 says, and suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked. Can you just imagine when you knock on your neighbor's door and then the person inside says the door is already locked? Obviously it's locked, right? Can't be open, otherwise I would have gone in. He's just giving you an excuse, right? We all know. But the point is this, in Jesus' time, the village, every house is next to each other. There's one long house, everybody is next to each other. It's just like, and if someone is knocking on the door of your house, the whole village is up. Literally up. Okay, they're all awake. So everybody knows that somebody is going to this house. Now, you ask me, why this particular host trying to go to the next neighbor house to knock and ask for 3 loaves of bread of all other neighbors in the village? I'll tell you why. According to Dr. Kim Tan, I know I've taken from his book, The Sting in the Tail, some of his analogy, some of his nonsense, some of his research, which is, I find it really, really valuable to understand this parable. And he says that the reason is this. Because if the person doesn't get up and come and look for you, is the whole village knows that that person's house being knocked on at night. And the person's house being knocked on because the village people, when they do braids, they make braids, they do the doughs, they do it together as a community. And the neighbor knows exactly which neighbor to knock on the door because he knows that neighbor has got fresh loaves of bread. Okay. Just like my neighbor has eggs, ice, and dinner. Fresh loaves of bread. They know. He knows. And so therefore, he knocked on the door. And then in verse 8, it is, tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, the Greek word, an idea, is better translated as shamelessness or the avoidance of shame. Okay. Now, I tell you how it's translated. This is a story been told by a pastor of a small village in India. The village has experiencing drought, no water, no rain for the last 2 months. All the crops are dying. There are no water. Okay. And so the farmers were really without their income because they really have to hope for rain to come. Unfortunately, rain hasn't come. And so this pastor called for a day of prayer. He invited the whole village, farmers, come, let's seek God because it hasn't been raining for the last 2.5 months, 3 months. We need the rain. Let's ask God to open up the heaven and the earth just to pour rain. And so the pastor called for a day of prayer. And so everybody came, all villagers came. And as the pastor was going into the church, the small church, to preach, to chair the prayer meeting. And so he was looking around and saw a lot of farmers talking and complaining and discussing and talking. And so he came in to the pulpit. And there, before he could say anything, he saw a girl, 11-year-old girl, seated on his right. Alone, and looking at him, brimming with smile and with confidence. One thing that the pastor caught is he saw what was that beside her. He saw an umbrella that the girl brought. And that is what it means, a shameless audacity to believe in God. What a faith. Knowing that when you pray, God will answer. And that is the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about here. It is an audacity. It is a shameless audacity to believe. Can you just imagine she walked around the village carrying the umbrella? How much ridicule she would have gotten from people? People would say, what? Why this girl? Something is wrong with her. Yeah? We always use this sign. Something is wrong with her. But that is the audacity. When you approach your Father in heaven, approach boldly, confidently, and knowing that He will address your request. So the passage here, therefore, translated as, yet to avoid being shamed, the neighbor will get up, because he knows if he doesn't get up, tomorrow morning, everybody in the village will say, how come you didn't wake up and give what you were supposed to give? And so he got up and meet the needs of the host. Otherwise, the words will go around in the neighborhood. As I said, another crucial understanding of this guest is the guest of the village. So you want to honor the guest of the village. You don't want this guest to go into bed without food, right? So you want to honor. But however, I want to say something here. The request costs the neighbor something, right? You had to wake up in the night. Someone knocked on your door. You had to get up. You have to prepare the food that the neighbor wants for his guests. And so you have to unlock the door. You know, in those days, people sleep on a platform. I don't know how many of you know this. When I grew up very young, at a young age, I was living in an estate, in a rubber estate. We have a house, yes, but we also have this plank, wooden plank, you know, where we all sleep. And this is the image that Jesus is bringing, because the people there understand exactly how they sleep. It is slept. The children will sleep in the middle, flanked by the mother and the father. That's how they sleep. Can you just imagine that the door is knocked, so they have to go and get up, children are up, everybody is up, and then they give what the neighbor wants. After giving everything, they need to go back to sleep. It's not that easy. I know some of us cannot do that. I know some of you can sleep so easily, anywhere, anytime. There are many who cannot. And probably you have to go without sleep the whole day, the whole night. And it costs something for the neighbor. The emphasis here is the integrity of the neighbor. The neighbor wakes up because he knows that this is a guest of a village. He has to provide for the other neighbor the food that required for his guest. And on his noble and honorable qualities, it is not on the persistence of the host. He wakes up to give. And when God hears our requests, when God hears our requests in prayer, it costs him something. I used to think that God sometimes answers our prayer just because of his generosity, but it's not true. It is not true that God answers sometimes out of his generosity. Yes, he does. He is generous, but it really costs him something. It costs him his own son to die on the cross for you and me. It costs a bloodshed on the part of his son. It costs him his love for all of us, his pain, because many times we really derail ourselves, and he caused his heart to be bled, and he wants you to come back. It costs him a lot. And so there is a cost to be paid. Again, I want to say that God will never deny his integrity. If you go to a neighbor like the one in the parable, everything is stacked against you. He's asleep, the door is locked, the children cannot be disturbed, but because of his integrity, he will get up and give you what you want. And so God, to an even greater degree, right, we know in the Bible, if you really read your Bible, you know the times where Moses have to plead with God, God, do not block out those people. Please. He interceded the people to go get them into the promised land. Even though again and again the people sinned against God, did the things that are not right, but God, and Moses asked God to relent. He says that your name is at stake. Your name is at stake. The people around will say, how come your God that brings the people out of Egypt and brought them to destruction? And so therefore, we have confidence when we pray. Okay? We have confidence when we pray. Even in unusual circumstances, in times of emergency, he will answer because of his character. His character will stand up. His character will ensure all requests will be answered. He may not answer you the way you want it, at the time that you want it, but But because of his character, because of his integrity, he will address us it. And so when we come to this point of Jesus' teaching on those in this area, the whole area of this parable, he's telling the disciples to approach the Father. And so praying, the big idea again, praying is approaching God. And I want to bring this to a conclusion. Not only it is any time is a good time for God, there are no unusual time for God, there are no unusual requests for God. Any request is good request. And there are no unacceptable excuses from God. God addresses every request. And so that brings me to a last conclusion. In concluding this whole parable is praying is approaching God. God is our Father in heaven, okay, who loves us to approach him with our requests. A lot of you have children, okay? You may have grandchildren, you may have children on your own, or you may have, you know, nephews and nieces. You really love them to approach you, right? Now, I'm not saying approach you what they want, but approach you, right? You love them to come and approach you. There's another story it's a different matter if they approach you for something that you don't want to give, but you still want them to approach you. And you always tell your children, you always tell people, you always tell the kids, you always tell your loved ones, you can approach me in whatever you want, okay? The home is the safest place. But of course, when they come and ask you for something that you know that they shouldn't have it, you will tell no, right? In the same way, how much more your God, the Father in heaven, loves you to approach him. He's longing for you from the day you were born. He's longing for you to approach him. And prayer is that. Prayer is to approach your Father in heaven. So this parable here contains some very deep truths about the nature of prayer. God is a loving Father. We need to learn how to approach your loving Father in heaven. With whatever request that you have, no matter what is the circumstances that you are in, or any time of the day. So not only that he loves to be approached by us, this parable on prayer told us by Jesus is to encourage us to go on praying because of the kind of Father he is. He is a good Father. Right? He is a good Father. That is why Jesus finished the teaching of this parable in verse 13. What did he say in verse 13? Jesus said, "If you then, though who you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who go on asking him." Now, Jesus introduced another word called Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus told this parable to the disciple, he is thinking about himself going to the cross. Why? Because he loves all of us. The Heavenly Father loves us and he knows he has to send his Son to the cross. When Jesus said this, Jesus saying to the disciples, "One day I'll go to the cross. I'll go to the cross and I will die for all of you. I will not stop there. The cross, the tomb will be emptied on the third day because I will rise again. And then when I rise again, I will give you then the Holy Spirit. Because then you know that when you live on this earth, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit." And so here Jesus is saying, the reference of the Holy Spirit is the pre-cross, it's before cross. And the Holy Spirit had not been sent yet, but he's saying to them, it is a legitimate prayer, church. The biggest need of any one of us here now, right now, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of time when we pray, we don't seem to move anywhere. Yes, the Word is alive, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit to ensure that we live a life that is in line with what God wants us to do. And so, the big picture again, praying is approaching to God. As I was trying to do this, I was asking God, what is the Holy Spirit is saying to all of us? I know our senior pastor like to use this. I also like to follow what he says. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us this morning? As I was praying to God, I said, God, your word speaks louder. Your words bring conviction in the hearts of people. But Lord, what is you saying? How are you connecting today, this morning, to the heart of people here? What is this parable that you're saying? How can we approach our Father? Yes, we know. God, we know. But where we are is so far away from where we should be. And so this is a picture that I received from the Lord. A vision. Now, if you look at this picture carefully, just look at it carefully. It's not a commercial that I'm selling you bicycles, okay? It's not. Look at it carefully. If you look at this picture very carefully, look at the wheels of the picture. Both of these tires are punctured. Both are the tires of these bicycles are punctured. You know, when you have a bicycle that are tires are not, it has got no air and it's punctured. We all know that you cannot ride, you cannot cycle a bicycle that are punctured. Firstly, you will damage the wheel. Secondly, you go nowhere. You'll be pedaling, and you don't have momentum. That's what is happening, church. Some of us, our life are like that. We take prayer as a form of once in a while kind of thing. And our bicycles have tires that are punctured. Our life is like that. Our prayer life is exactly where our tires are punctured. Whenever we want to cycle around, we go and look for, you know, to pump our tires air. But we know it will not last long. It takes you a few distance and after that, gone. The other thing is we've been struggling so hard in pedaling this bicycle where we know that it cannot take you anywhere. Because we are in our old stubborn nature, we do not want to do anything with a bunch of tires. We keep on doing and doing and doing, but you will never move. Today, God says, approach me. Come, I will change your tires. I will give you a new pair of tires. Because you want to finish your life well, right? You want to dash to the finishing line. You have a punctured tires. How can you dash to the finishing line? You cannot move anywhere. Church is the heart of the Father. A lot of you know that you have children. The heart of the Father is tell the children, you can do it, son, daughter, but you have a tire that is punctured. Come. I want to give you a new pair of tires this morning. Just want you to ponder what I've said about what the Lord is saying as we bring it to the close. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to come to you, Lord, this morning. Those of you in the live stream, those of you who are doing in the multi-site, Just come to the Father. Lord, we want to come to you, Lord. We don't want a life that is going nowhere. We cannot be going around in circles. In fact, some of us are so stationary for the last couple, many years in our life. We have begun well, but Lord, our tires are punctured right now. Lord, have mercy on us, Lord. Be merciful. Lord, we want to approach you with confidence and in boldness, with shameless audacity to trust in you in all our problems and worries of this world. Lord, replace our wills. We are approaching you to ask you to replace our wills so that we can be effective in our walk with you. So that, Lord, we can finish the race that has been marked out for us to the honor of your glory and your name. So this morning, God, give us a heart that is ready, bold, and courageous, willing to accept it and come to your throne room to ask, Lord, replace our wills, energize us, strengthen us, so that, Lord, our prayer life will never be the same anymore. Just let's stand.
Our Father, all of heaven arose your name. Sing loud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? A sound of heaven touching us. A sound of heaven touching us. Our Father, all of heaven rose to your name. Sing loud. Let this place hear up with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching us.
Just don't leave yet, church. We're just going to call for a few prayers and come for prayer. I want to call for those of you who can identify with the picture just now. I want to invite those who are cycling with punctured tires. You are tired. You want to give up in life because you're so tired and you realize that your spiritual walk is not going anywhere. You are heading nowhere. Life is miserable. There are no indication when these will be over. And you need a new pair of tires for your bicycle. You just need it. And so God wants to invite you to come. Approach Him this morning. So I make this call for all those who are eager, who feel that this is time. I need God. I need to approach Him with boldness, with shameless audacity, that He, God, will answer my requests. That I don't want to live a life that is so powerless. Come, church. Just want you to come. Let's come. The Lord of heaven is here. Jesus is here. The presence of the Holy Spirit will empower you to come. So I'm going to ask the pastors to come first to receive those who want to come. Come to the Father. Come and receive the power, because today He's going to replace your wheels, the tires that are punctured. Yeah.
Break our walls down. Spirit Maker.
Hallelujah.
Heaven come down.
Oh, yeah, Rabashuka, Rabashuka.
Break our walls down. Oh, yeah. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Just sense. The Lord wants to see a breakthrough in the lives of many parents. Parents who have rebellious children. God the Father, hear your cries. God the Father wants to answer your requests. You have kids. There are no more kids. They are all grown ups now. But still not moving anywhere in their life. And you long to see them move out from wherever they are, but they don't seem to move anywhere. And they're just wasting their time. But here you are. You are crying out to God, and God wants to answer you. Come, come and be ministered. Come and approach your Father in heaven. And parents, I also want to address that Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open the door, I will come and have relationship with you." Open your door of your heart to your children. Receive them once again. Don't shut your heart. Parents, don't shut your heart. Receive your children. Open them, your heart to them once again, because the Father in heaven will give you the strength and empower you. There's going to be a breakthrough in the relationship with your children. And so parents, come. Hallelujah. Oh, ya rabba shukorobo. Makaraba shukorobo. Makaraba shukorobo. Makaraba shukorobo. Makaraba shukorobo. Come, Holy Spirit, just come. See a breakthrough in the life of our parents, Lord. We want to see a breakthrough, Jesus, because you care for each and every one of us. Father, we pray you know the hearts of our parents, Lord, crying out to you day and night for their children, their grown-ups. Lord, won't you come and hear them? See a breakthrough in our life, to see relationship be mend, relationship be knitted together once again. We break every powers of darkness, every form of enmities between parents and children. Nullify them, Lord. Break them in Jesus' name. So Spirit of Living God, just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. You're the Lord.
Lord, we want to pray right now, Lord, that the Spirit will break out. We pray and we break every bondages right now in Jesus' name. Church, before we pray for healing, before I call out for sicknesses and healing to be prayed over, I just had a sense that there are two groups of people that God wants to address. One is the group of people who are in business. The word that came to me is the word, a lender of last resort. We know that the lender of last resort is always the central bank. But here you are, God is saying to you, those of you who are in business, or those of you who are looking for jobs, approach the Father in heaven. He will give it to you. You are in the brink of closing down. You are giving up in your business. You're giving up in whatever you are doing. And you say that, I've got no other ways that I can find resources. Come and approach the Father in heaven. Today, God wants to address your need. There's another group of people who are looking for jobs. You want to change. And some of you are without a job, without a work. And God wants you to come. Because today, there will be a breakthrough in your life. There will be a breakthrough in whatever you are doing to see that God will bring restoration to your business as well as to your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit has come. Oh, Yaraba Sukorobo, Makaraba Sukorobo.
Sweet River.
Oh, Yakaraba Sukorobo, Sukorobo.
Makaraba
Sukorobo. Oh, Yakaraba Sukorobo.
Sweet River.
Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit has come.
Heaven, come down.
Break out in the life of people. Lord, we pray, Lord, we long for you.
Heaven come down, yeah, heaven come down, yeah.
Lord,
Spirit,
let's come, Lord, let's come and see a breakthrough in the life of people. Oh Lord, we ask even right now, Spirit of living God, just come and fall afresh on each and every one of us. There's a thirst and hunger. Create a thirst and hunger for you, Lord. Father, we pray. Church, one more thing is, no one is too good for the Lord. And no one is too bad for Him. Today He sees your heart. Some of us feel the guilt of our life. But the Lord wants to break that guilt, that shame. And He wants to tear down every stronghold in your life, because there's nothing is going to separate you and Him. No shame, no guilt. Everything is cast before the Lord this morning. And so we want to come today to an open hand, with open hand, and give it to the Lord, because the Lord wants to give you a breakthrough in your prayer life. Hallelujah. Just come. And so, Lord, we want to come before you. Come before you. Come before you, Lord. Oh, Yakarabasukorobo. The call for those who are sick. Someone here, you are going through a giddiness spell. You are giddy all the day, most of the time, and you do not know why you are giddy. You haven't seen a doctor, but you're not sure why. Today, the Lord wants to heal you of your giddiness. He wants to stop and see a breakthrough in your life. You are experiencing this. Don't know the reason why. You haven't seen the doctor. You want a breakthrough, and you're not sure, you're scared, you're fearful. Come, the Lord wants to see a breakthrough in your life. There was another person who was going through insomnia. You haven't been sleeping at all. You haven't had a good sleep for months. You do not know why you cannot sleep, and you keep on taking sleeping pills. It's not helping you. You cannot work, and you do not know how to move and how to go around it. Today the Lord wants to break through in your life. There wants to be a healing in your mind, and even right now. I want to call all those of you who have any form of sicknesses, diseases in your head, from the neck to the head, from the neck onwards to the head, all of you who are facing any kind of diseases, anything, bring it to the Father today, because the Lord wants to reform, transform your mind and bring healing and restoration. And He recognized that from the neck to the head, all things that are not right, bring it to the Lord. Approach the Father this morning. Oh, Yaraba Sokorobo, and those who are on the live stream, just place your hands in wherever you feel the pain, the diseases, whatever you are going through, bring it to the Lord. Hallelujah. Approach the Father. Jesus is the Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. Hallelujah. He wants to break through in your life and bring healing and restoration. Your life will never be the same. He wants to replace your wheels so that you can move and do all that the things that Jesus wants you to do. And so, church, just come. Just receive. I want the pastors to anoint them. To anoint them, those who are sick. Anoint them in the oil of anointing, because the word of the Lord says, is anyone among you sick? Let them come. Let them come, the elders of the church, to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anoint them. Hallelujah. And today, there'll be healing and restoration even right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to commit this day to you this morning, Father, for mercy, for your mercy, for your mercy.
So King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking out the earth and sky.
Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. God the Father, we see our hands before you, Lord. Our hands are lifted up to you, a posture that we want you more than anything else. We recognize that our being here, Lord, on earth is so difficult. It's so challenging. We need you more than anything, Lord. We also recognize that we need to approach you boldly
courageously, but we lack in those. So today, we want you to come into our hearts again and to receive the boldness and the courage to see a breakthrough. Church, I want to impart to you right now that the Holy Spirit will empower you, strengthen you, and remove every form of inhibitions in your life, any form of intimidation, inhibition, any form of distraction. I take authority and I remove them. And I ask, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, would you pour your presence in their life so that, Lord, we will approach you boldly, courageously, and ensure that prayer undergirds everything that we do. So help us, God, even right now. So Spirit of Living God, fall afresh on every one of us. As we dismiss, Lord, may your presence will go with us, that our prayer life will never be the same anymore, because we want to see a breakthrough in our life, in our family, in our loved ones, and see a breakthrough in our community and in this nation and the nations of the world. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns His face towards you and give you His peace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.